We'll call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, May 14, 2025, to order at 9:24. We will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation, Adams, Haxby, Thiemann, Lytle, and Dorn. Mr. Claybaugh and Mr. Juergens will be out today. Welcome to the public that's here. It's always nice to see additional faces in the audience. It makes us nervous sometimes wondering what's going on, but it's great to see you all. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held April 30th, 2025. Approve all claims through May 14th, 2025 in the amount of $3,885,380.42. Accept claim number 25050059 to Diversified Drug Testing in the amount of $230. Claim number 25050096 to Johnny's Welding, Inc. in the amount of $362.40. And claim number 25050103 to R.L. Thiemann Construction, Inc. in the amount of $62,488.52 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve district court summary fee report and register of deeds fee report for the month of April 2025. Approve receiving and place on file the 24 annual report for Beatrice Fire and Rescue, Cortland Fire and Rescue, and Pickerel Fire and Rescue. Approve utility permit number 1330 to Northern Natural Gas. Northern will be replacing electrical equipment and setting up temporary workspaces in Gage County right-of-way. The first location is along Hickory Road between South 36th Road and South 51st Road in the South Greater Ditch, located north of Section 17, Township 4 North, Range 7 East, Logan Township. The second location is north of the intersection of 120th and Ash Road. Northern will be working in the East Greater Ditch of Gage County, just outside of BNSF Railroad right-of-way. Northern will continue to work in BNSF property located east of Section 7, Township 6 North, Range 8 East, Adams Township. Approve specs and call for bids on Gage County 2025 culverts. Bids to be opened on June 11th, 2025 at 8:15 a.m. That last one would be an additional... I'm sorry? 9:15 a.m. Is that for six projects?
Six projects.
Six more culvert projects. I would ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, unless there are any items you would like to pull off for additional discussion.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Adams. Any discussion? If not, please vote. Five in favor, motion carries. Regular agenda, approve or disapprove claim number 25050089 to Diversified Drug Testing in the amount of $230. This is a company that Mr. Claybaugh owns.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Second by Adams. Any discussion on this? If not, please vote. Five in favor, motion carries. Approve or disapprove claim number 25050096 to Johnny's Welding, Inc. in the amount of $362.40. This is a company Mr. Juergens owns.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Adams. Any discussion? Please vote. Five in favor, motion carries. Approve or disapprove claim number 25050103 to R.L. Thiemann Construction, Inc. in the amount of $62,488.52. This would bring the total amount of claims paid to $3,948,461.34. This is a company that I am associated with. What is that?
Does this turn, this little?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. All right, so try.
You can't vote no.
You can abstain.
Okay, so let's wait a minute.
You have to turn it.
Wait, it didn't. There it goes. Okay. No, go ahead.
I would ask for a motion on that.
So moved.
Who did?
Moved by Adams.
Second.
Second by Lytle. Any discussion? Please vote. Or in favor with Thiemann abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items for the Gage County Board of Supervisors.
Does it actually work now?
Sort of. You have to figure it out.
So my voting clicker is very unique back here now.
Better than the vice group.
Seeing no comments from the public, we'll move on to committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights, Mr. Dorn.
Dave's here.
Good morning, Mr. Jones.
Good morning. Sorry, I didn't get a chance to talk to you this morning, Eric. We did replace that with a lamp switch, so it does work if you keep turning it. So anyway, Applied Connective is coming tomorrow, so hopefully that means the beginning of getting all the system changed out to the new equipment. And then flags go up. Legion will be putting the flags up tomorrow, and they will be up until Tuesday after Memorial Day. So there's about 13 days that they will be up. And then we did talk about replacing the concrete on the east handicap ramp. So it'd be concrete, and we would replace the tubing, the heating tubing. So I'll get some bids on that. So.
Are you looking at hot water again or electric?
Yeah,
or?
It did. It worked fine. You know, a long time ago, I always felt like those tubes were getting distorted, or there possibly might have been a leak because that concrete is just really crumbling now. So, but we
they have
a
to
new
be copper lines, don't they?
The tubes or the
no, it's a PEX.
It's a PEX.
Yeah. So.
Going along with that, you talked about upgrading the entrance to the east.
Yeah.
Are you looking at quite a while for that yet?
Well, yes. We have tossed that idea around quite a bit, and it just seems like it does turn into a probably fairly sizable project. So by doing this now, at least we would replace the door, take out that support, replace the door, and then just replace to use the ramp as we always have. There might be a time, you know, when we could do that. I just feel when we do that, we did get some plans on that, and I hope if they ever do something like that, it would fit the building. It just seems like it really,
right.
You know, it's hard to match something, an appendage on the courthouse that looks right. So, but for now, I just recommended that we just replace that so we do have a good way of coming in when it is icy and snowing yet. So.
I want to thank you too again, Mr. Jones. The new boardroom decor so far between the countertops, facade on the front of the desks here, the floors, woodwork, and the carpet, it's all looking really well. Dave's kept a good eye on all that and worked through this. So thank you very much. It's looking really sharp. I'm looking forward to what you have for us for the technology portion, and I hope we can figure it out once it's installed.
Yes. I was glad to see Dave here this morning. He's a big part of that when we're moving forward with this. So,
well, Mr. Swavely was intimately involved as we did any building and grounds work. So, yeah, thank you, Dave.
Dave, you want to touch on moving the storage?
Not at this time yet. I'd like to kind of get some things situated.
Please.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Good luck, Dave.
Thank you.
Equalization, we discussed a couple of the Turk cases that we have coming up. Talked about how to mitigate those potentially. And property tax has been paid already. That was a rush down at the treasurer's office. Anything else for equalization? Finance and insurance. What was our transfer?
Harry is missing, so I'm going to fill in.
400.
Oh no. Applied Connective Technologies IT supplies 19,453.27. Fund transferred from Road and Bridge sinking, $2,609,135.15. G-Works annual subscription assessor, $26,379.67. MIPS programming data processing, $28,699.49. Beatrice Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $20,458.15. Catherine Sons Construction, Asphalt Armor Coating, $565,232.29. Minnelli Wagner Engineer Consulting, $52,232.80. RL Team and Construction, Township Gravel and Hauling, $62,488.52. Rock On Hauling Material, $13,191.31. Sat Brothers Petroleum Fuel, $20,146.30.
So out of the $3.95 million that would be expelled this period, 2.6 of that was just an internal transfer. So the majority of that was internal transfers just between accounts. Human Resources, Employee Relations, we will be discussing some personnel in closed session today. We'll have a closed session at the end of the meeting before adjournment. Law Enforcement Emergency Management, Mr. Lytle.
Emergency Management, Lisa doesn't have anything today, unless that's changed. Gus, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Just one real quick. I told the group Monday, but I'll tell you again today. This Friday, we're off of sponsoring the community coffee in Weimar at the Park Lodge. So we're going to come down. Pardon?
Biscuits and gravy.
You need biscuits and gravy? No. I don't know. Well, homemade cinnamon rolls. Know. Anyway, from 10 to 11, Park Lodge Community Building down there. So if you can swing by, please do.
Okay. Thank you, Sheriff.
And later on in the agenda, we'll discuss the jail consultant. Other than that, I don't think there's anything law enforcement wise.
Road and Bridge, Mr. Dorn.
Got anything for us, Mark?
Nope.
Okay.
That was brief. Do you want to read through that?
We're working on the roads for Cattleman's Ball. Vogescapes has completed the boxes. They're beginning to pave. Looking out, bidding some asphalt patching for the next fiscal year. And then, just as a note, I did get the Adams Bypass submitted last night for Congressman Smith's grant. So I think we're done with the ones for Gage. I'm done with the ones for Gage County.
Anything else for Road and Bridge? If not, we'll move on to the extension update by the extension educator, Ms. Stoner. Good morning, Nicole.
Hello.
Good morning.
How are you guys?
Wonderful.
Good. Okay, I have some stuff for you. Sorry, I bring packets.
Thank you.
Oops. You have it all, you know, you can look at it at your leisure.
Something
to start on fire with tonight. Something to start on fire with. If you want, throw it out.
Yeah. I want to be told. I don't have to read it.
Thank you.
I'll tell you too.
Okay, thank you.
This is just for later reading. For your, you know.
So you can refer back to it
when you're ready to like stop doing your grant.
So I wanted to start by saying thank you so much for your support for our office position moving to the UNL position. It allowed us to have around 30 applicants for the position, and that's way more than we've had in the past. And we had some very, very good candidates, and I'm happy to tell you guys that starting Monday, Jamie Fugate will be our new office associate at the Gage County Extension Office. So we're very excited. Been since December since we've had someone. So definitely very happy about that. So thank you all for your support. So then on this, we just kind of go over like the hiring timeline, why it took a little while getting it moved over to UNL and working with human resources and everything. And we had to, you know, go through all the situation to get it approved as a new position. So just wanted to tell you again, thank you for that. We appreciate it. And then you'll see the position summary is here on the front page. That's like the shortened version. There's a longer version at the end there on that second page so that you can see all the things that we're outlining for this position to help us out with. And then, so I will tell you, we're back up and running to full 8 to 4:30 Monday through Friday hours. What I show you here on this front page is just the times we were closed since December, or, well, I guess we only kept track since January. It wasn't very much, and it was usually hour and a half at a time at the most. So we were closed all day on the 17th, but that was the plumbing issue, which is all nice and fixed now, so we're good there. So we wanted to outline that for you guys. But we are back. I put the sign back up. We're 8 to 4:30 Monday through Friday. We really weren't closed much, though. So, a couple of things I wanted to share with you guys what we've been doing in the Extension office. So you'll see the Big Red Showdown is in your report. So that was the progress show that JC worked on, hosted by UNL Block and Bridle and the Gage County 4-H Council. So you can see we had 217 exhibitors for those 2 days. 36 of them were from Gage County, but we also had exhibitors from Iowa, South Dakota, Missouri, and Kansas. So it had a really wide reach. You can see all the entries here. Most of almost 50% were swine. So that just kind of shows you there. And they estimated 250 spectators on Saturday and 325 on Sunday. So it brought in a lot of people to Gage County. And they gave out $1,800 in cash awards, as well as banners for the top winners. And they also, a lot of the top readers received items from Sullivan Supply Trailer. So a lot of great stuff for the kiddos on that progress show. Then my lovely guide here. So I've been busy, finished up all of my pesticide training and those kinds of things for the year, and Master Gardener Advanced training. And in my pesticide training, we had 46 recertify and 21 in my initial class. I did the ProHort program for green industry professionals. I did one here, and I also taught at one in Omaha. So. And then, of course, you know, Yard and Garden has started, and been adding it to my podcast with the recording, and just the first 4 episodes were downloaded nearly 75 times, and I did a couple of Yard and Garden extras before the season started, and those 2 episodes were downloaded 38 times. So trying to reach people in any capacity that I can. I lead the Grow Big Red virtual programming team, and we've got 9 programs scheduled for 2025, and we've already had 172 participants for the first 3 programs that we've done. We've got one today at noon. And then you can just see I've done some other programming, a couple at Tall Tree Tastings, and I did one at the Odell Library. I've got in June, Graham Herbst is coming to Tall Tree Tastings, and we're going to do wine with a forester. Not like don't wine with them, but wine at the Tall Tree Tasting. So Graham, he's just coming to just talk forestry stuff. So that'll be good. Where did I put Carly? Oh, here it is. Then Carly has been busy as well.
Carly A.
Carly Applegarth. It gets very confusing. So she's got some upcoming stuff, Kids in the Kitchen and Plant Alliance Board of Directors. So she's been working with Healthy Children, Healthy Communities. That's a $3.1 million NIH grant funded for 5 years. So she's busy with that. Has done some BLAST programming. She led the planning, organization, and execution of NAND, which is Nebraska Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics annual conference. She was the chair for that. And at that meeting, had 180 nutrition health professionals, and she was honored as the Young Dietitian of the Year for 2025. So a well-deserved award for her. So she's done a great job. Done a great job hitting the ground running for extension. So she's got a lot coming up, and she's been busy going to a lot of the Blue River Area Agency on Aging programs, teaching them all kinds of good stuff. So that is what we have been up to. Before I move on, do you guys have any questions on any of those things? Cool. All right. So a couple of things I wanted to talk about for the rest of this fiscal year. We do have within our budget, I could get a few more of those tables that we've gotten before. I have a couple quotes from EECS. Where are they at?
And Rex, just so you know, we had those old tables out at the extension office. They've been replacing those with a lighter plastic table.
Well, they're lighter and they have wheels on them and they fold up. They're wonderful.
You have the old particle board, yeah?
Yeah. We did have some of those, yes. Yeah, those are heavy. Yeah. You can't move those. And I'm getting a little older. It's hard for me to carry things as much. I have a couple quotes from EECS that are similar type. There's four of them would be like $3,500. I think that'd probably be best in our budget with what we have left. Just wanted to make sure that would be an allowable use of it before the end of the fiscal year.
That's in your budget. And, mm-hmm. I mean, you've been updating those.
Yep.
It was probably time. There was a lot of stuff that needed updated.
Yeah, we haven't done a few in a while, so we were thinking we could get a few more back there.
Is that recarpeted in the...
No.
What room is that called?
Our meeting room, our conference room.
Room.
No, we haven't. We asked about carpeting a few years ago, and you guys decided that it was good.
I remember having Dave go out and look.
Yeah. I know that we do probably need to have it cleaned after the plumbing issue. It still hasn't been cleaned, and there's something like, I'm going to say it's mud on the floor. The guys had dirty shoes.
You've had pesticide training.
We're going to go with that. It makes me sleep better at night. So we do need to get that done. And so, another thing I wanted to check on within our budget for this year, we were going to hire a couple of interns, and it fits within what's in the intern or in our part-time salary. So JC, and we were going to run them through the university. And then we could have a couple of them. And JC's done the math, worked with our HR people at the university to make sure it all works and it's within the budget. So just wanted to make sure that
would those be folks locally or would they be from Lincoln? Or?
They are, should I tell them?
Former Fort, yeah.
One of them, Peyton Smith, has been out there multiple. This will be her third year, I think. And then we're going to have Lori Rempel come and do some as well. I don't know that she'll be full-time as much, but she's a para here.
I would say if that's in your budget.
Okay. And we just wanted to double-check.
Yeah, before. And just to, clarifying, because Nicole had talked to Don, and Don had just shared, make sure that their university, paid. And so just know that the university will tie them. So it's a little bit different. The invoicing looks a little different than it will for the full-time associate for this one. It gets tied to... JC or Nicole's kind of checking account. They call them cost object accounts. And so the money will flow out of that. And then at the end of the month, they can run a report and then put together an invoice to invoice the county. But then this check will go to the extension office for either Nicole or JC to put back into their cost object account, where with the office associate, you will get the university sends an invoice to the county. Office. The county office will put together the claim, and then with that one, we will mail the check to UNL. So just know that it'll look a little different, but it. We just wanted to confirm.
We did it a couple years ago. We had an intern that we ran through that way, so it'd be the same where then it comes back to our office, and I'll make sure at the top it says which one. So just to clarify that. Okay, any questions on those things?
Yeah, I know, clear as mud. It's those little nuancing things, but we want to make sure
it's
you said
confusing.
It, so that way, if there was any question, we could address it.
As long as there's the paper trail to show.
Absolutely.
Yes, there will be.
Mm-hmm. Cole, are you still on the budget?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you going, I mean, is there further that, explanation?
So that was that was where I was talking about this year's budget. That is, any, did you have a question about it?
No, not on this year.
Okay. So so then I was going to move on to next year's. So I did put in there, where is it? Mine's not as organized as yours. So this is the, what we handed out to you for our, and I have it ready to submit to Don in the other form. But what we were hoping for on this, it is higher, but that's to, the only difference is that we're asking for that second full-time office associate that we had before.
I was looking at that. So was there a second associate in 23-24?
No. Yes.
So we're 50%. Because
we had Monica and...
Rachel.
No.
Bailey.
Sarah and Monica. And then they both left at the end of April of, I think that was 23. Yes. Mm-hmm. So we had two then. And then once we got the interlocal, we had talked about having that second one back. And then it was after the budget.
I know about it. I don't remember us talking about it, but
I think I talked to Don about it. Yeah, and then with the last year's budget already being in place, so that's why I'm hoping that we can get that second person back.
So, Eric, with that, just note, you know, some of this is where the fringe benefits come in, and so
yeah, so it looks higher, but it includes that fringe.
If you look at, and Don could pull what the fringe benefits are for the 23-24, but when we looked...
She put it in front of us already.
Okay, perfect.
We have the fringe benefits there.
Yeah, so like last year, Rachel's fringe benefits was around that $19,800, and so if you have two office associates, you're paying that $38,000.
It's all in the salary. There's an $8,000 difference in the salary.
Mm-hmm.
The fringe benefits are within about $40 of each other.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at, too.
I don't think that's right, though. I think ours are closer to 12. We'll have to check those fringes.
Okay. Yeah.
That'll be a discussion we'll have to have with the board if we want to add additional staff. The intention was to bring staff down, I think, but we're down to one. There's a time we had three people out there.
Right.
And we had discussions with some of them as they left, how much there is to do, what was going on versus one.
Right. We have
versus none.
And we have a very good outline of, like, different things, not different things, but things that we will keep them busy. We have a lot of things we can do, a lot of things we can expand on. And if we have a second person, then we can do more programming for the community and things like that, because we would have more help to get things.
I totally understand. I hear that discussion from every single office in this building and everyone that we're associated with.
But we had two before, so I'm just asking for it back, is all.
Again, we're not here to...
Right.
We just wanted to present it and say we will follow up when you guys have your board... budget conversation.
The answer is always no until you ask.
Absolutely. No, and you know, right, if you need more clarity, I mean, we tried to just outline what the costs.
Have you looked, when you're outlining things, at a half staff member instead of a full staff?
With that,
I'm just teasing you.
Well,
it's on the other way.
It's a harder one for me because it's harder to find someone to work. Just half time, you know what I mean?
No, I meant in lieu of the full-time person there.
Just a half instead of one at all?
Well, I was just going back and forth with you. You want
you
two,
know,
I want half.
We haven't hung out in a while. I'm just trying to get all your little ribs in.
Yep.
Any questions
definitely
for...
Definitely need one full one.
Any questions for Nicole or Carly?
If you want, Don, I have this budget filled out with the... extra person. Yeah.
If you want to visit with them about that. We are looking at budget items.
Yeah, I'm going to call you about your amount with the fringe benefit because your budget was approved at technically not allowed to go over, so we're going to have to look at that.
But also, just on the other side, as we talk to them, as we move someone to the university, we talked about adding back in our fringe benefits aren't shown in the budget.
We're going to have to do something different because we can't show a negative line. So we either have to transfer money in or we have to pay for it something else out of a different area.
Mm-hmm.
But your bottom line can't go to 94 if you budget at 74 unless we add more we do a transfer in.
For this year? For this fiscal year?
This fiscal year.
We were in.
It won't. We did the...
So the way that the university is going to bill for this new employee, they bill quarterly at the end of the quarter. So you are not going to receive your bill for the person that's getting hired next week until next July 15th. So it won't be submitted until the July budget.
Okay.
So as long as, you know, if we get close and we're watching everybody's bottom line, because no one can go over
absolutely,
their
absolutely, no budget. One has to come in here and beg.
But we did, I mean, that was something we did talk about as we moved this person, and it happened faster than we thought. We did know that additional money for insurance benefits and things like that, that was outside of the general budget, too.
Yeah, sure.
But this will fit, it sounds like, in July.
I'm aware of that. I just mean so they don't spend more till we can get money transferred in or pay it out of something else. Just numbers, moving numbers, whatever. But we have to make sure.
So hold off on the tables, or can I?
Pardon?
Hold off on the tables, or is that
I don't know where you're at for your bottom line. So we'll talk later, okay?
Yep, that's fine.
In theory, though, this last quarter you won't be billed until next year, so there may be some in between. You may be way well below your budget this year because of two people.
Yeah.
Then next year it'll show an extra quarter on July 15th. So as we budget, we need to make sure that we don't short them a quarter of one person's wages because it's not billed till 15th of July.
But then it would catch back up.
It theoretically, it'd always be next year's that way.
Because if it's in there for next year.
Unless something changes again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we're good for a while now.
Yeah.
Tell me you want to change again.
We're not the ones changing things. We're trying to
streamline it.
What was our last agreement with extension? When was that?
Initiated? Right?
1997, I think.
No, it was initiated in 2025.
No, that one is. But we had about a 20-year run there. We did pretty well.
The new one, you have to re-up it every once in a while.
I am really happy, though. I mean, this is something that we ought to publicize here. As you advertise for positions, 30 applicants.
Yeah, it was a lot.
That is fantastic.
And very good, very qualified. Like, Jamie is, like, got it all. She's going to be great.
That wasn't the case not long ago, so just putting out for bids for office staff.
I think in the past we've had a couple or four. I mean, you know, so it just was a lot more.
To have 30, I mean, right away, and it wasn't over a long period of time.
No.
As soon as you advertised it, they were...
And we had people still applying after, you know, the technical end date.
That's something to celebrate.
That is a great thing, right?
Yeah, we really appreciate it.
Did you get any feedback as to why they're of the interest, or as you were interviewing, did you get any feedback as to?
Well, I would assume part of it was the pay was a bit higher, that helped, and
connection to the university possibly
could be.
You see, is that something that's normal in the university system to see applicants like that?
Yes. I mean, when we switch over, like 4-H assistants, some 4-H assistants might go from county paid to university paid. I mean, you're going to find the applicant pool is just a little bit better. And whether it's just people are going to the university's website and they find these positions, but a lot of the people that applied here for this Gage County one were local. It wasn't like, you know, people from Lincoln that are applying, that they were local people. So, again, it's just that curiosity of, once the university posts, it also posts. It triggers it to post on other, you know, websites.
I think it was on Indeed, I'm sure.
And so that, I mean, that...
Garden fans.
It could have been. Well, I didn't mention it on Yard and Garden. It was after that. Or it ended before that.
Nicole following. Anything else for Nicole?
It looks like your other totals, though, other than the salary, which we knew was going to increase going into the university agreement. But your other asking, it looks like it maintained.
Yes.
Like it's a flat.
Yes.
Correct. Yeah. It's just $37,000. It's just a little bit redistributed.
Mm-hmm. We've shifted
some things. Still the same.
Same number. It's not an increase.
Nope.
So all it'd be is the moving that employee over is going to be the additional cost.
Yeah.
Yeah, this year not much. Is this the requested budget?
Here? I have it right here if you want it.
Is that the same as what I... Oh, yeah. You have...
I have the filled out pretty one.
Thank you.
The pretty one that works with your system.
I will tell you, Nicole, that's going to be a really hard sell for me to double your budget. And I'm
it's
saying
not doubling
that
it.
It's 20 grand short of doubling it. if we use your fringe benefits on there. Fringe benefits in all, it's 94. That'd be $1.84. This is a 161 request, 20 grand short of doubling it.
I understand that.
I really steer everyone away from using government math here. We use real numbers, and that's real close. But that's going to be a hard sale for me on...
It depends how you manipulate the numbers and twist the way you say it, Eric,
how
it's presented. Because you could also say that we chose to go with a different interlocal agreement by putting it into the university,
and then
we paid one person already and the part-time. So realistically...
So that would be an increase of $8,000. I'll go with that.
We would be going from, basically, I did the math already, 100, you're saying, basically we'd
94.
Be looking at 102 versus 160. That's not half.
Okay, we'll go with your numbers in that presentation. We're at a 60% increase then. Is that more fair?
No.
Well, I mean, it can't be both, which is...
You're not. This isn't...
Well, let's go 102 to 61. Is that approximately a 60% increase?
I'm pretty sure we're going to get to talk about this again, so let's not beat the dead horse today.
I'm just trying to use your numbers.
We're not passing it now.
Eric, you...
It's all in how you spin it. Thank you very much.
We'll continue this discussion later. You guys have been having a long day already. So again, we just wanted to turn it in, and we ask that you keep us informed as you go through.
If you have questions about anything or like how, what kinds of things we can, you know, utilize a second person for, give me a call. I have great points on all of it.
I have no doubt. Just as we do, as we go through this, every department, I mean, I'm sure the sheriff's sitting back there thinking, well, I could use another person.
Yeah,
Mark's got his hands in the air right now. It's a discussion. We will be talking about it, though, and this will come up with everything else. Just going to say it may be a hard sale.
Right.
Thank you, ladies.
We do
appreciate it. Don't need a place on file for an update. I would like to add a item right here after Ms. Stoner's presentation. Mr. Stannard talked to Walmart. They accepted the offer of $58 a square foot, which would change their valuation to $8,972,600, actually. I would ask
a motion to accept that.
I would ask for a motion to approve changing valuation to $8,972,600. Motion by Adams, second by Dorn. Any discussion on this item? With that, Roger will prepare the paperwork and send it off, and that'll be one Turk case. We should not have to go to them.
Nope.
Perfect. Any discussion? If not, please vote to approve that. 5 in favor. Motion carries. We will move on to Patrick Kreifels, Regional Administrator for Region 5 Systems, and Matt Kasich, Director of PACE, to present their annual reports. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello. Chairman, may I approach with some handouts?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, sir. Thank
you. So my name is Patrick Kreifels. I'm the regional administrator with Region 5 Systems, the Behavioral Health Authority. My address, business address, is 3600 Union Drive, Lincoln, Nebraska. I want to start off by appreciating Commissioner Haxby for sitting on our regional governing board. I can always count on you, Commissioner, and just appreciate you and thank you for your commitment to behavioral health. And first thing is I'd like to talk about our mission and our vision. So our mission for Region 5 Systems is to support the wellness and recovery of people through the ongoing development and coordination of the behavioral health system of care. We envision that people experiencing, affected by, or at risk of mental health or substance use challenges receive care and enhance their personal well-being. That really guides us every day. The first thing that is in your packet I want to go over is the county match document. Region 5 Systems is one of six behavioral health regions across the state of Nebraska. We have 9,308 square miles that we serve, and this is the document that is talking a little bit. In column A is the county match for the current fiscal year that we're in that you approved last year. And then column B is the county match, which I believe you've already approved for next year, is what I've heard from Commissioner Haxby. And that is a decrease in the county match from all the counties by 8%. So column D is the statutory required county match, and column E is the county additional county match dollars that we requested this year. We did decrease the additional request by 38%. So I just want to say the first year, last year, this year that we're in, I appreciate the support that you gave us to sustain your match, and it helped us get through the year, make some adjustments, create some efficiencies, and we were able to decrease that liability for the county. Are there any questions about this document? All right, moving through your packet, the next document that I have here is an outline of a few services that the Division of Behavioral Health funds us, and then we offer to your constituents in your county. You can see Gage County, 91 times crisis response was activated for your county. People were placed on emergency protective custody on 17 occasions by your law enforcement. We do have two new services that are up and running. One is it just opened officially April 18th. That's the Adult Voluntary Crisis Stabilization Center in Lincoln. That's open to all the counties. And so if individuals will voluntarily go there versus being placed on APC, it's a strategy to try to support and decrease the load on county attorneys, public defenders, law enforcement, and support people's willingness and voluntary to get services. Mental Health Navigator was activated 12 times. You had 12 individuals or families that were served in our professional partner program. So those are youth who have serious emotional disturbances. That program is one that we keep in-house versus having it contracted out, which was directed or required by the Division of Behavioral Health of us, that they get a success rate of 75%, helping youth overcome some of their challenges. 99% of those youth stay in their homes and their communities. Rental assistance, there's 10 of your constituents that received rental assistance from us, and those are individuals who have zero to very low income. They also have severe mental health or substance use challenges. And then we have six individuals from your county in housing urban development, which are, we just received additional funding for that this year, next upcoming year, to increase that to 64 units that we will have across our service area. Excuse me, Commissioner.
My question is the crisis response. We're at 91 and Saunders is at 18. What's the difference when we're basically the exact same size?
It's interesting question. So we spend a lot.
Is there a failure somewhere that we are not looking at?
Well, I don't know if I can answer that question, but I can maybe add to the conversation if that's all right.
Yeah.
So some of this is based on we train law enforcement officers throughout our entire service area. And so it could be that your law enforcement officers are more astute in activating and using that service. It is the mobile crisis response has a diversion rate of 95% of individuals being placed on emergency protective custody. So let me say that again. So when your law enforcement officers go out on a mental health crisis call, if they activate mobile crisis response, it's more than likely 95% of the time or 90 to 95% of the time to divert that person being placed on emergency protective custody. That's a clinician, a practitioner that's going to respond via the phone, via the telehealth, or come out in person to assess and then try to engage that person to redirect them. So there's a few different, it's not a bad number, it's a good number. We want that to be happening versus kind of plugging up your court systems, your county attorney's office, and people, you know, voluntarily get the help if it's an appropriate situation. So we monitor appropriate EPCs, and they are appropriate in our region. Does that answer your question?
Yep.
All right. Moving on to the next handout in your packet is the long one. This is the Behavioral Health System Service Array or Continuum of Care Array that we offer and we contract out. So Region 5 is one of six regions, as I mentioned. We are the public system, so we're that public safety net. Medicaid is a public safety net, if you will, but we're also through the Program 38 Behavioral Health Aid. So if people fall off Medicaid because maybe they have severe mental health conditions and can't keep their applications on, or if they're unhoused, that's kind of what we're here for, that zero to very low income. And recovery works, and this is how we address responding to their needs. So you can see Gage County and all the different services that your constituents have engaged. The other component, when I say public, people have to meet financial eligibility. They also have to meet citizenship. So we did add in to a document beyond this one that says what is the poverty rate for your county as compared to the other counties. And that has some influence on the poverty rate is higher in Gage County versus some of the other ones. So that may be also why some of this is happening too. Any questions on those documents so far? The next one is just a look at the service area, the population, the poverty rate, and that's just for your information. The next document in your packet looks like this. This is what we put together. I spent last year having 19 meetings with senators and senator-elects in preparation for this current legislative 2025 session that we're in. And this, we are better together than we are individually. What I mean by that is Gage County, it would be very difficult for you to fund all of these services for your constituents on your own. So when I say we're better together, all the counties coming together to help contribute and have our entire system of care respond to the needs. It gives you also some grassroots input, right? Local input. What are the needs in our county? And that is the beauty of the regions. And this just outlines the commissioners that sit on our board, the senators that are in our geographical territory, and the Behavioral Health Advisory Committee. And I did solicit Behavioral Health Advisory Committee members and commissioners to come and meet with me when I had those 19 meetings with senators. So it really paid dividends. This year I've testified on three occasions. We've submitted letters of support and opposition, and the senators were well informed in regards to what the behavioral health regions are trying to accomplish. The next document is what I went over with the senator. So it outlines the legislation. We've been around since 1974. We were established by LB 302, and you can see the different statutes that changed us to the current date. Some of the unique services, the funding, the unicameral is the one that appropriates our funding. This document I put together because when I was sitting in the Appropriations Committee and Senator Clements was talking about, well, doesn't Medicaid pay for that? Medicaid doesn't pay for everything within our system, and they don't oftentimes have the flexibility. So if you turn to the back, we outlined all the red is what the regions pay for, and the blue is what Medicaid pays for. This is a complementary public payer system. So to be that public safety net when people fall out of Medicaid. It also, I want to just outline that timeline at the bottom. There's $33 million that have been reduced to the Program 38 budget over time. Now, some of that is because of Medicaid expansion that has occurred by the voters, and you can see those circumstantial influences there. And some of it is redirection. We lost $10.3 million 1 year, an additional $15 million the current year that we're in. We had to reduce our budget by $3 million. That was my allocation of that 15 was $3 million for the year we're in. And the pandemic has kind of loosened up, I guess, and people are getting people hired. I just heard about the 31 applicants for the prior presenter. That's fantastic. And I think people are getting out there more and accessing services again. But that is a real impact on our system, that reduction in funding. A few other things that I did want to talk to you about is every dollar that you spend on behavioral health, you are saving the system $3. So you spend $1, you're saving $3, and that's based on statistical research, and that's just on employment. So if people get in recovery, they want to work, and they want to be productive. I love coming to work every day. I know you all are servants here, giving back to your community on top of everything you're doing. And people who are in recovery want to get to that place too. So by helping them move forward in that recovery, you save $3 for every dollar that you put in. If I look at the broader system, like your county attorney's office, the hospitals, the emergency rooms, and the drain on that, if you spend $1, it's $5 that you save in the overall system by investing in behavioral health. A few other things, the interlocal agreement. I appreciate Commissioner Haxby's involvement in that. We've been working on that for the last year and a half, and we have reached, I believe, consensus with all 16 counties on a new interlocal agreement. And I just thank you, Emily and Roger. I know we had some conversations on the telephone, so thank you for participating and help us move to that agreement. The decrease, I shared the decrease, the 8% overall, the 38 of the additional. We are expanding 368 emergency protective custody beds in our system by having Thayer County, Fillmore County, York County, Polk County. We're having a contract with Mary Lanning Hospital in Hastings, and people who are placed on emergency protective custody will go there starting July 1. If we can finalize the contract and get everyone in agreement. We've already met with those communities, the county attorneys, the public defenders, and the law enforcement officers. We had three commissioners that were there at that meeting with the public as well, and I believe we are moving in that direction. Two counties on the north is Butler and Saunders. We are going to contract with Fremont Methodist Hospital for people that are placed on emergency protective custody. This will afford our system an additional 368 bed days. The remaining 10 counties will go to the single point of entry through Lancaster County, and that's 16 beds that we have there. If you take that times 365 days, gives you a total amount of bed days. There'll be more flow backing each other up, so if the crisis center is full, then those will be on contract with us, and we'll be more obligated to take people versus having to go further out or go to Omaha, and vice versa. If the hospitals are full for those six counties that are going to these new hospitals, we'll come to the crisis center. It's a good thing for our system, in my opinion. We're going to pilot it for a year, see how it goes, and I'll let you know next year, and Commissioner Haxby will get updates. The other thing is we did receive $1.2 million additional dollars out of the documentary stamp tax funds from the legislature and from the Health and Human Services to increase additional housing for people who are unhoused. People who are unhoused, again, it's like a basic human right, right? So people deserve to have a place to live, and that's where we start. And that is an evidence-based practice that we follow. And then we work on your mental health or your substance use challenges. But we get you stable first and a home, and then we move on. And I talked about the increase in HUD funding. I think that's a summary. The last document is an annual report. I'm not going to go over it. I've already hit a few highlights, but please, if you have questions, let me know. I'd be happy to answer them. Any questions for me today?
Do you see us lacking anything here in Gates County? Is there something that would be a standout that we need?
I don't know if I can answer that. I do know that in Jefferson County, they just did like a sequential intercept mapping, and we participated in that. And Seward County had a sequential intercept mapping. We have the Stepping Up Initiative. You do have individuals that are in your jails that are probably needing to transition out and that are also presenting with mental health conditions, and not just a little, but some severe ones or substance use conditions. We've initiated a contract with Lancaster County and the division to identify a stepping up coordinator. Her name's Wendy Baumeister, Dr. Baumeister, and that would be one area that I would encourage you to kind of go down with your jail administrator or the sheriff. I'm not sure who oversees it. Every county's different. And I will let Wendy know to reach out to them when I get back to the office if that's something that you want to do. But oftentimes what we see is about 30% of individuals that are in jail have that mental health or substance use condition or challenge that we want to prevent them from cycling back through the jail, right? Like integrate in the community, work on recovery, and that's her whole focus. So some of it is helping the jail screen. Do you have a screening tool to identify these individuals? What can we do to staff them? We have we've developed a most vulnerable population and a high utilizers population team that any of your law enforcement or jails can staff with community providers and with us to say, what do we do in our community for some of these individuals? So that'd be one area just off the top of my head. I believe in prevention efforts, right? So anything that we, if you have other funding or other priorities, we'd have a coalition for every county, and we're working with your county on what those priorities. I don't know all of them off the top of my head, but Sandy Morrissey's the director of that prevention, and she works with your local schools, your local community on campaigns to try to redirect maybe underage drinking or vaping. Vaping's usually one of the big ones, things like that.
No, that'd be great. We don't have a jail coordinator, but if you could reach out to the sheriff.
I'll do that. Absolutely. I'll have Wendy do that. Other questions for me?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. I'm going to pass the mic over to Matt. You're it.
Good morning, Mr. Kasich.
I have
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Recess.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Well, good morning.
Can we take just a real brief recess before
absolutely.
You go through your presentation
yeah,
for us?
Point of privilege.
We will take a brief recess at 10:20 on the clock. I don't know if Roger's coming back right now.
Oh, okay.
We will reconvene at 10:24. Sorry for the
no worries.
The delay.
Not a problem. Well, thank you. My name is Matt Kasich. I'm the CEO of APACE. Business address is 4433 South 70th Street, Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for allowing the opportunity to present our annual recap, and also a special thank you to Commissioner Haxby. I really appreciate all your service. Like Patrick said, I know I can count on you, and I appreciate all that you've done. Genuinely, our setup is one of our competitive advantages. We are one of 160 providers in the state of Nebraska. And the fact that we have elected officials serving on our board makes us a public entity. It provides transparency and accountability to the public. So when parents are choosing who their provider is, that gives us a step ahead. So thank you all for your support. APACE is the largest provider of developmental disability services in Nebraska. We serve right now about 710 individuals across Southeast Nebraska. We do that with 770 employees and 140 shared living providers. So those are individual contractors that provide direct support. A shared living provider will bring a person with disabilities into their home, much like a foster parent would do. Here in Gage County, we support 50 people. One of the things I like to point out about our services, they are not a one-and-done service. When we serve somebody, we are living side-by-side with them for the duration of their life or however long they want us to be with them. So we like to say it's by-your-side support. Here in Gage County, we have 63 employees. And we have 10 of those shared living providers that I mentioned. Last meeting, I brought our director, Cami Erb, to this meeting. She had overseen our CREET agency for many years, and then opportunity presented it for her to oversee the Beatrice agency as well. Just wanted to compliment Cami. We've really seen a lot of improvements in our operations here in Beatrice since she's taken over. So she's really done a great job with sometimes a challenging agency. Beatrice is one of our agencies that is really growing quite a bit. between BSDC and Mosaic, you know, as they shift and provide supports, we tend to take on people from those agencies. So we've had some pretty massive growth here, and the team has really done a great job under Cammie's leadership. I also wanted to point out on the sheet on the inside here, the employers. So we have 24 people that we support here in Gage County that are competitively employed. So that's about half of all that we support. If I look at our overall numbers, we have 200 people that are competitively employed. So that's about 28%, just as an overall number, which means that we are ahead of the curve here in Gage County. Working is such an important element of life for all of us, and for individuals with disabilities, they don't always get that same opportunity. As you recall, the first thing I said was my name, and the second thing I said was my job title. So we identify with our jobs and our roles. It provides meaning in our life. So I like to recognize the employers, the folks that take a chance on employing somebody with a disability. Oftentimes what happens is you'll end up getting the most dedicated, loyal employee you could ever have. So I really like to highlight and recognize the employers here. I failed to mention the glossy outer sheet is our highlights, some highlights from the last year, stories of milestones achieved or cool things that we've helped guide over the past year. If we shared every story in a book for last year, this would be a giant bound book. But so these are just the highlights of some cool things happening in the community. Last year, we did not request any funding from the county. Our funding model changed, and we are primarily funded by Medicaid, and that remains the same this year. There is no funding request this year. We are, having said that, this is going to be a tough year for us coming up. Our budget cycle starts in July, so we're looking at our budget for the next year now. We've advocated with state legislature. Since we are a Medicaid provider, they set our rates. However, there is no new money for rate increases in the budget that they're currently debating. So if all things are equal, we did receive some one-time funding this year. So we will be facing a $1.6 million deficit as we devise our budget for the next year. So it's going to be a tight year. In addition to that, there are new funds in the developmental disabilities budget, but those funds are to the End the Waitlist initiative. So about a year ago, the governor came out with a proclamation that he was going to end the waitlist. There was about 2,400 people at that time that were on the waitlist for developmental disability services. And so the thought was we're going to end the wait list. And so they've continued on that process. However, what we're really seeing is kind of a pivot point for our work. And what I mean by that is there is new money in the budget for this, but it's a lower dollar amount. So what's in the budget equates to about $12,000 a year per person. If you take our 710 individuals and divide it by our annual revenue, it's about $81,000 per person. So really what we're seeing as the regulatory scheme changes is, and the waitlist initiative is essentially more services or to serve more people, but with a lesser service. So I see that as kind of the future for what we're working with. So we're looking internally to make sure we can be on the forefront of those changes. Finally, I saw on the agenda next is the discussion of the interlocal agreement. Patrick and I, as he mentioned, we've worked on that interlocal agreement over the past 18 months or so. And I know Emily worked with you and Roger worked with you as well. So thank you for the collaboration. We've gotten to the point now where it was approved by all at our board for adoption as well as our bylaws. Our bylaws had not been updated since 2017, and they are now up to date. And then also our interlocal agreement, the last update on that was 2009. One, we brought it up to modern day statutes and language, that sort of thing, kind of bring it up to date to where we're at. But then the other part of that is that 2009 interlocal agreement governed both a PACE and Region 5 system. So now there is one agreement for each entity. So thank you for the collaboration, and we ask for your support on that when it comes up on the agenda. And that is all I have. Are there any questions for me?
You have several houses here in town. Are you going to continue expanding on that or in the county?
As the needs present themselves, potentially, yes. I think we have 7 group homes here in Beatrice. So it's a challenge in who we have available to support at that time. If you have one person in a house, you have to staff it like it's full. So we're constantly looking at who we're serving and not. Generally, though, as talking about that pivot in services, what we're seeing the push is more of a more shared living providers, more of that model. And so what I would say is over time, I could see the number of group homes that we have will either stay flat or decline slightly as folks switch over to shared living providers. So we'll still have a presence, but it'll look a little bit differently. So
yeah. You're still constructing new structures. Mm-hmm.
So. Yep. Actually, one of the homes on the inside page here, we built a home in Fairbury this last year. The year prior, we built a home in Nebraska City. We plan to build one in Lincoln, one in Auburn, and we'll build those as our needs. This home, we're using a standard model, a standard design for the group home that's completely accessible. It's one level. It kind of meets the needs for service. It kind of checks all those boxes. So as we build houses, they're more of a improvement on what we have rather than an expansion. A lot of the homes that we have as we built or as we purchased them over the years, we just kind of shoehorned the based on the homes that were available and used what we had. Not all the homes we have are accessible, so that this house definitely is an upgrade when we do those. So that might be a consideration.
Mr. Adams.
Well, I just want to express appreciation for your employees, because to me, the state home, you guys, the Martin Luther home, that offers a skill set that I don't have.
Yes.
It takes a certain kind of person to do that, and you guys are very fortunate. You have those people that feel the compassion, the patience.
Yes.
So I've always had trouble with the state home and Martin Luther home not willing to pay somebody for a skill set that a lot of the population doesn't have, so thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you. We, of the 770 employees, right, about 700 of them are direct support staff, so they are hands-on with the individuals, and they're not doing this work to get rich.
No,
it is not that type of work. Well, you know, our funding comes from the state. It's limited. So yes, that we are very fortunate that there's many people in this world that do the work that they do.
Speaking of the state home, do you have any influence on that? We have a lot of really nice structures out there, and they happen to be in Gage County.
They're empty.
I just saw 3 more go down this year. One of them was an incredible building. Structurally, it was fantastic, and it's gone. We still have a lot of buildings in really good repair out there. Is there any way you can utilize those for any of your staffing or
That's a great idea.
Any other uses other than demolition?
Yeah. No, the state operates those buildings. So we do obviously work quite closely with the state. potentially. I'll look into that to see if there's any collaboration we can do with them.
Even if it wasn't directly for you, if you could somehow, with your relationship there, if there's a way that you could utilize them or make money off of those four, offsetting some of your budget right now, if they're just standing and not being used, they're an expense. If you could somehow utilize them, even if you rent them out for the state, just something with your relationship there.
Yeah, that's a great idea. No, I'll look into that. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
I would ask for a motion to put these two reports, annual reports, on file.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn, to put the Region 5 systems and Region 5 services annual reports on file. I'm sorry? A PACE annual report on file. Motion by Lytle, second by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. 5 in favor. Motion carries. Up next, discuss and approve or disapprove interlocal agreement with Region 5 and a PACE. Ms. Haxby, do you want to take this?
Yeah, these are the interlocal agreements, as he had discussed, that we had worked on. Everybody had came to an agreement. This is what Roger and I worked on, agreed to as well. So I think we're done. Let's get it off the table.
I would like to thank you, too, for your work on these two boards. Like I say, each of the boards, committees, things like that we're on, they take time. This is one I've seen the work you've done on it, and I want to thank you for that, Ms. Haxby.
He does a lot of work on this stuff, and some really good points that we appreciate. And we had a couple Zoom meetings, and it's not often you work directly with the CEO of these larger enterprises. And they took it to heart, so we appreciate that.
And thank you too, also Roger. As we question or do things, a lot of times we send it to you and say, "Yeah, I need this tomorrow." So I appreciate you fitting us in as you can, as we need things. Do we have
a motion
to approve?
Second.
Motion by Adams, second by Lytle, to approve both interlocal agreements, both with Region 5 and a PACE. Any additional discussion on these two interlocals? If not, please vote. 5 in favor, motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Now we have received and approved or disapproved the recommendation of the on RFPs for jail consultants. I will turn this over to our law enforcement chair, Mr. Lytle. You've been working on this with the jail committee.
I think what we'd like to do is like we do with some other items. Roger, you can tell us if this is the direction we want to go or not, but I think we want to accept all the RFPs, but then move forward with one of them.
I would just, as opposed to accept, receive.
Okay. Receive. All right, just receive.
Then the committee will make the recommendation as far as which one the board should accept.
Yeah. Is that a motion, Mr. Lytle?
I think you have the name.
Yeah, I think so. We will move to receive all of the RFPs that came in, and then we'll proceed. Award, but we need to work with the one that we want to move forward with, and that's going to be the Davis.
Davis Design,
yes.
So you would like to award today also?
I think that would be the appropriate language. Because we still have to go through with negotiating a contract.
Right,
award. So.
So we have a motion to receive all the RFPs with the intention to proceed negotiations with Davis.
Yes.
Yeah. Motion by Lytle.
Second
by Haxby. Does that appear to be correct, Counselor?
Yeah, that will work. Yeah, because again, there's a lot of
gaps that have to be filled in and agreed upon, and, you know, everything from design to...
negotiations with Davis.
So, again, we're still a ways from getting a final contract that the committee can bring before the board, and for this is the one we want, and here's how we want to proceed.
Yeah. And once you come up with your recommendation, you'll bring it to the board, explain to us why, for an actual award.
Yeah, well, the process moving forward now will be a little...
Just the contract.
Get the contract.
Yeah.
We're awarding to Davis.
Awarding to Davis, all right.
Right. Yeah, there's a whole lot of discussion going after this before you're
receiving all
before we
awarding
the
to Davis or at least
right,
moving
correct.
Towards the contract.
Negotiations, yep.
Perfect. Receiving all with intent to award to Davis pending contract negotiations.
Did that one?
That sound good?
Yep,
that's what
I said. Good enough.
That's what Lytle said.
That's what I seconded.
That's what they both motioned and seconded. Receive all RFPs with intent to award to Davis pending contract negotiation. Any additional discussion on the jail RFP? If not, please vote. 5 in favor. Motion carries.
I guess. We should say thank you to everybody that did hand in RFPs. You know, we did have some good things to look through and everything else. Davis met everything.
I would say Davis did meet all the check marks on the RFP, but there were definitely other good candidates as well. So thank all of them for putting it in, taking the time to put that together for us.
Up next is the discussion on tourism agreement. This would lead into giving 90-day notice to the Beatrice Chamber to open contract discussions. I don't know what order we want to do these in. I will say this is along the same lines as giving notice to the City of Beatrice when we wanted to open discussions on the 911 agreement. It's just a stipulation in the contract. If we do want to change terms, come out of that contract, change anything in the contract, we need to give a 90-day notice. It's listed first, discussion on tourism, so I guess we can start with that. Mr. Adams, do you want to proceed on this item?
I can. I don't know if Rachel talked to Angie at all, but when Rachel was here and did the economic development, she talked about economic development, tourism as part of economic development. And then that afternoon, when she was crowned by the governor of the Southeast District Tourism, I don't know the exact title, in my mind, tourism ought to fall underneath economic development if we're going to have that. That position with that title, it should be in that department. So that is where the discussion started on this. And then tourism agreement, it needs a 90-day, like Eric said, you got to discuss it 90 days in advance. So, and that's where I'm at. I just think if we got a lot of publicity behind that, the economic development director is going to be involved with tourism through the whole Southeast District. It only makes sense, in my opinion, to have that housed under that department.
I would just throw out a devil's advocate question. If that position would change, do you see a change, or do you still see that falling under economic development if, say, Ms. Krackemeyer is no longer there, or
it could change
that administration? Or whatever the tourism title at that point changes.
There's a lot of duplication.
Well, there is, and it could change very easily. It could change. This may change Rachel's future, this position. You don't know. I'm just saying the opportunity there to look at something different is in that office with the title that she has now, the opportunities that's going to change for Gage County. And I know you work in relationship together anyway, but
I did talk to Angie just to let her know this would be coming up. Angie had already seen this on the agenda anyway, so she's brought a couple of her board members also. I guess I'd say as we're talking, is there anything else from the board first? And then if, with her being here, it probably is good to get her take.
I have some questions after they get started on it a little bit. So unless you want mine out front so they can think about it.
No, not necessarily. Maybe.
I mean, I'm one that I don't mind laying it out. My thought is what percentage of tourism funds Chamber of Commerce? What percentage of the tourism director's time is spent towards tourism? And that's the questions I have. So,
anything else from the board or any discussion prior to asking Angie to come up? If not, since you are here, Angie, would you come up and give your name and title for the record? And you might have some questions here from the board. And feel free to bring your board members up also if they need to come up and answer anything.
Going to sit. If that's
well, they right. can leave you on an island alone.
I guess. Here's moral support, I guess. I'm Angie Bruna. I'm the executive director of Beatrice Area Chamber of Commerce and Gage County Tourism. I've been in this role for 7 years, and I've got accumulation of over 13 years altogether with the organization. And we've had a longstanding partnership with Gage County to administer tourism. Over 20 years, as far as I know, because it's been in this model since I have been in the role and with affiliation. It's 20, give or take. I don't have that exact number. To answer your question as far as budget goes, we have, so the chamber and tourism are together, but we keep separate budgets completely. I did bring a copy of it if you want to see how that looks. The tourism coordinator position is staffed at one full-time equivalent. So the tourism coordinator that we hire, 75% of their salary is paid from tourism, and then 25% of mine is paid by tourism, so it acts up to that one full-time. When you reference Southeast Nebraska representation, we already have a strong presence, I would say, in addition to Rachel's new appointment as Nebraska Tourism Commission. For the entirety of my time as executive director, I've been serving as on the executive board for Southeast Nebraska Tourism Council. I've been the treasurer for that group. So we get together and meet regionally and plan efforts in that capacity. We're also active members of the Nebraska Travel Association, and that group works with advocating for tourism throughout the state of Nebraska. We're also active with the Byway 136 Association. That group has hosts the Trail of Treasures every year, so we're very active already. We place ads nationally and locally within our budget. I have some of that information here. At least 6 years I'd have to look back at how consistent before that. We've been receiving grants through the Nebraska Tourism Commission for marketing Gage County. So we have social media blitzes that go out twice a year. We place an ad in the Nebraska Travel Guide. We've done banner ads through Nebraska Tourism. One of the more recent ones we've done, I just submitted an ad. There's a 50 States of Short Track publication that's through the NASCAR magazine, and they're doing a feature on Beatrice Speedway, so we partnered in that to get a pop-out story and then advertising it with a full-page ad in that publication, encouraging people to come to the area. We place ads in within local area visitor guides like the Lincoln Lancaster, Sarpy County guides. I know there's more to the list on those, but that's off the top of my head what I can remember. We also place ads locally to help promote all of the local community celebrations that have. We partner with KUTT on placing those. So each year, if they place an ad, then we boost it within our budget also. So I think I touched on your questions. Do you have other questions or what other things?
I do. What's your stance on when Rachel talked economic development, tourism is part of economic development? I mean, 2 weeks ago she was here and made that statement.
It is. It all goes hand in hand, but the chamber is also economic development. We focus more on that community development side, so we all have to be partners working together anyway, and we all work closely on projects as it fits. So I don't know that there's an issue with the
way things are set up at this time.
Okay. What percentage of the tourism director is spent on tourism versus chamber work?
I would say like that 75%. I try and be very cognizant of what that person is working on because there we have to focus on that tourism piece and taking into account the time that I also have. But with that caveat, you know, they do attend some of the chamber functions and help with some of the things. I would say the primary piece would come in with that staff person, like helping with the Homestead Days event and Holiday Lighted Parade. But those are also attraction events as well that bring people in, so it very much goes hand in hand.
I would like to see the budget, you know, and I think it's safe to say everyone here would like to see it because I don't know how often that's conveyed and shared.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
I only have one copy of things. I'm happy to email anything also. And mm-hmm. It printed on cardstock, so I don't know who wants
Dawn
it.
Dawn can have it and then okay. Share it if that's okay.
And I mean, and we don't do any, we aren't in control of the chamber's budget by any means either, but I know they're happy to share that.
Curious, and you may not want to answer this in public forum, but I will ask in a public forum. What percentage of your budget comes from the chamber, and what percentage is the tourism? You have 50% money from chamber, 50%. I don't know. I haven't seen any numbers.
On the chamber side, is the bulk of our budget. The tourism side is based on the lodging tax dollars that come in, so it's a smaller portion. I don't know percentage without doing the math, I guess. So I can
you
get that
Eric
back to you.
Can you do math and not county math?
I don't want to misquote, so let me look that up and get that information
okay.
to you.
Thank you, Rex.
Don't inflate him like that.
Questions for Angie. If tourism, so years ago, this is before I was around here, tourism was a county employee.
Jolynn Sands.
And that was short term, if I understand right.
She's the only one I remember anyway. So I was here when it switched down.
Okay. That predates me.
I don't think there's any interest in the county having a tourism person under the county.
This came into light because of the discussions of last week. So, and I think it's fair to ask the questions.
Mm-hmm.
These guys all know my stance on we're a public entity responsible to the people for the money that is spent.
Absolutely.
Recognizing that you get your money from the lodging tax, but still it falls under the county government, and where private business intertwines with government money, I think it's fair to ask questions. Questions probably haven't been asked in 20 years since it's...
When you say private business, are you referring to the chamber?
Yeah.
Okay. Because we're a nonprofit. I just wanted to clarify. So
simultaneously to this discussion, there have been discussions between Main Street, Chamber, and Engage as well over combining. I don't know... Have the only discussions been that one forum we had at SCC?
There have been a couple of meetings.
I've been to one of those, I guess. I talked to multiple board members afterwards. From what I understand, the general consensus has been similar to my own. We have three successful organizations on their own. I may be reading this all wrong because it may be who I'm talking to. We haven't had anything publicly amongst ourselves other than I think everyone said they're willing to look at it, which I think that's a service to everything. When you have an opportunity to look at it, consider it, things like that. But we have three successful individual organizations. Some of the other parts of the state do not have that. Angie, how would you see this potentially affecting the Chamber of Commerce, the Beatrice Area Chamber of Commerce, if tourism was moved out of the chamber and into another organization?
I don't know if I have the information to answer that clearly yet. Quite honestly, I had no idea this was up for discussion until yesterday morning. So I would have to visit with my board and see what they think on that.
And like I say, I want to reemphasize, we had misunderstanding with the City of Beatrice. The City of Beatrice works very well with the county. We had a clause in our contract to discuss this. 90-day notice is given. So as with the City of Beatrice, we didn't want to break ties with them. We were just going through a process. We want to maintain that relationship with the city the same as we do the chamber, engage all those other organizations. But I just want to be very clear, this is just a formality of going into discussion, giving that okay. notice that we're going to be looking at a potential change, or maybe not a potential change.
Or maybe not, yeah.
But to give that notice, we need to go through the proper channels due to the language of the contracts.
Makes sense.
Any other questions for Angie or any other comments from the board on this tourism position?
Appreciate you stepping up here not knowing what you're getting into.
Yeah. And anytime you have questions, I can send out copies of ads we've placed, or if you want to see anything like that, I'm happy to share it also.
It's opening the discussion is what it is. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of these guys are starting to know that I question things. And I don't have a problem with it when we're accountable to people that ask us things. So that's where it's at.
Okay.
It's worth discussing.
Anything from your board members? Any additional comment you guys have at this time?
I'll throw her a life jacket at least.
Basically, yeah. We're open. If you have questions, come to us and we can find the answers out. We'll guide you from there.
All right. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Next item is approve or disapprove giving a 90-day notice to Beatrice Chamber to open contract discussions.
I will move to approve the open for the discussion.
Second.
Motion by Adams, second by Haxby to give 90-day notice to Beatrice Chamber to open discussions on the contract as per contract language for changes. Discussion on this.
I think it's something safe that we do open and look at. It's been a long time since it's been looked at, and it may be all it is just looking at it. So
we just don't want to miss the formality part of it and then end up a year down the road with no chance to discuss.
Rex, are you thinking, you know, we've had, over the years, we've had quite a bit of turnover in the tourism what do we call it now, coordinator? You know, are you thinking that there's the chance of maybe making that stable, or is it more about what's done, or is it just the process? Or
I think maybe all the above, the process, the whys, maybe, you know. So some of that is probably not appropriate at the open meeting forum. If there is personnel issues, that probably should be done in an executive session type deal. So, but you're right. It's all probably all the above. And I don't think most people realize the amount of money that comes in from lodging. What is it off the top? Just a ballpark. Eric math.
I think we budget around $80,000 a year, but that's the 2% of the total.
And then the county keeps 2% of that.
Right. To the state
for visitors. Yes. Yes. Okay. So, I mean, you start thinking about that. That's a pretty significant amount of money that is raised. So. Right.
And it's been going up.
And it's been going up. And that's a good thing.
We have a motion by Adams, second by Haxby, to give 90-day notice as per our contract with the Beatrice Area Chamber of Commerce. Additional discussion, questions? Seeing none, please vote. 5 in favor, motion carries.
Is, Just so we get, who you want to send that out?
Counselor, would you send a letter out to the Beatrice Area Chamber of Commerce? It says we would like to open our contract for.
Well, this will be easier than the last one I sent out because you forewarned Angie, so she knows it's a discussion item. So I will do that.
We will be in contact. I wonder if it'd be appropriate to have a subcommittee to start discussions on this. How would you like to proceed as far as talking to the chamber, or do you want to do some research first as far as how things are working together? My thought originally was possibly have everyone involved here to discuss things. I guess that was probably premature to do that, but
it is and it isn't. A subcommittee could, probably do it just as easy, and then just so everything is shared and conveyed back to both bodies. My stance on, I always believe there should be more than one, because I may hear blue, you hear green, and reality is purple. So the more people that, short of a quorum that you can have to discuss something, the better off you probably are.
I guess my first thought would be to appoint you, Ms. Haxby, and Mr. Claybaugh possibly to a subcommittee, unless there's want from one of you two.
I've been on the tourism board the whole time I've been here, so.
That makes sense as well. Maybe Mr. Lytle instead of Mr. Claybaugh?
I would think that's, yeah.
I'll appoint you three to a subcommittee for this. As far as Mr. Adams, maybe you could chair that subcommittee, and that way, as we get started, at least we have a go-to to start discussions and set up some meetings. Now, I would say giving this notice, it would be my thought that we continue on as normal.
Oh, yeah.
Until something else is determined at some point in the future.
And I think we don't set a meeting immediately, give them a chance to prepare your minds, and because it is kind of out of the dark. So
that is the thought, not stop anything and continue into 90 days. This will just keep going until
the contract is open for discussion, and within a week or so we'll set up something, but that'll give you a week to share with your body questions, concerns, directions that they may have also.
So I just wanted to be clear on that. There's not a 90-day end cap on this. This may take months, days, weeks.
In my opinion, as long as it's open for discussion, Roger can clarify, we can work under the existing agreement, and then once we decide we're happy with it, it can ratify it at that point, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's where I'm comfortable with, if your body is.
So that way there's not just an end cap where, hey, we've given this notice at 90 days.
I don't like drop-dead dates. I don't either,
because, something may come up. There may be great discussions. Things could go south.
Are you having hot flashes now, too?
Oh, God.
It's hot in here.
Freezing over here.
Did you just take my fan away?
You would move like this.
You can run yours.
Freezing over here. I got all these people with hot flashes around me.
All right. With that, we will move on to discuss, approve, or disapprove the 911 agreement. This is one, and I will reiterate with this contract as well. There's always the perceived issue between city and county. The county and city do work well together. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
We've received a 911 service for years from the city of Beatrice. They provide a full line of services through that 911 agreement. Dispatch, and we've had very good luck with them. We gave them a 90-day notice that we would like to enter into negotiations on this. I visited with Mayor Morgan as well as Mr. Templemeyer. We looked at how can we get our rate down. At this time, they don't see how that rate can be reduced. We're paying a small portion. They've got about a $1.55 million budget at dispatch. We pay approximately $250,000 a year roughly, for our services. They have 12,000 calls, roughly. We have 6,000 calls. They're losing some members. Cree Richardson are going away from that 911 agreement. What the city has offered back would be basically what we had prior to, which was a 2% increase over our last year's cost. It should be, if it was around 246. It might be less than 2%.
Our last year's cost was 236,424. Difference was 4.04%, I think, for what they're proposing.
I thought we were at 246 already.
No, we weren't. No. And then when you, if you'd have read my email, I gave you all the information.
Right.
Anyhow, by 5/15 of 24, you proposed a four-year agreement, no increase, and that was at the 236.
What year was that?
That was last year.
And they denied that, so it went up 2% at that time.
To correct that, they had denied it because we didn't give them a 90-day notice.
Correct. So at that 236, it went up 2% from that, because that was the previous year's amount, the 236. So we would do 236 times 1.02 times 1.02, which would be about 245 is what it should be. 245 and change.
Okay, then maybe that's what
245, 997. So
yeah,
because
so
my figure was what I had that we
did. That was from the previous year. Yes. So Beatrice offered a 2% increase after we had asked for a 4-year, no increase. They denied that. We didn't give notice. So they increased it 2% as per the contract because we rolled over to a new one. We decided that was a good deal at that time, so we didn't pursue it. We said we'll discuss it next time. We're at next time, so we gave the notice. I talked to the mayor and
just one. The history is good here. You're going to get be careful. You don't get into your negotiations where you're talking about what you want to do.
Oh, okay.
I just if you're going to do that, which I think you're getting real close, you might want to go into closed session.
Well, with this, they've given us an offer. For on a contract, so yeah. we did offer them multiple years again at 1%.
No, and
then even at the same cost.
No, we didn't.
And they denied both of those.
No, the agreement was just zero. Is what I went back.
That's no cost increase.
Right, that's what you guys proposed for.
And we talked to them about that. They denied that. Well, that's what I offered. So I hope that was right, but we talked about both of those, and they denied both of those. They came back with this, which is a 2% increase again, a 1-year contract. I talked to the mayor and the administrator again yesterday. There's no renewal in this contract. When I talked to the mayor, he said, I don't see a need to have a renewal clause in it. I talked to the administrator and I said, do you have an issue with putting a 2% increase for following years and an automatic renewal? And he said he didn't have any issue with that. Their thought process is they want to find a way to have an a la carte type dispatch in the future. And they thought that may help them gather in other communities. It would be anything from basic to high end, and have different tiers of service depending on what you want to purchase. They don't have that in place right now. They're hoping within that 1-year agreement that they would be able to put that together. My thought is still we're paying a small portion of the fee for that actual dispatch. I would rather still have a potential renewal at a fixed rate. So then we can make that decision. Do we want an a la carte program, or do we want to just renew at our known increase? Tobias asked what I thought that would be. I said, well, I would propose it to the board at the same 2% increase that we currently have. I said, I don't know how the board feels about that. But I guess That's what I would present to you guys with the 911 agreement.
2%
to approve the contract as presented by the city, adding in our old 2% auto renewal language to the end of it.
I had a couple questions. You touched on it. Why the only 1 year and no non-renewal? But then something I do want to point out, we do pay $245,000, mm-hmm. but we're responsible for a lot of other things that we pay for it. So in essence, the towers, the repeaters, some of that, the radios in outlying areas, we're paying for anyway. So, but this is a service we pay to the city. So the 911 for the county is actually a little bit higher probably.
It is. The 911 is actually this. The towers are separate from the 911.
No longer figured into the equation?
They are completely separate. For whatever reason, the county pays for the towers, the repeaters, not the radios as a rule, other than the sheriff and the highway departments. But we do, 911 does provide dispatch to all our rural fires, the sheriff's department, anyone like that. The city takes about 12,000 calls for service a year, sheriff's department about 6,000. That doesn't factor in any of the rural fire, the rural rescue, any of that. That all blankets under that for the city agreement. There are a lot of pieces to this that you, how they break it out, you know, they broke it out fairly black and white. Here is sheriff calls, here are city calls.
I think the service is excellent, really. I mean, you're probably not going to get a better dispatch, so. One of the other questions I have, Rick, is Eric, is imposition of service surcharges. I never saw in there where it recognizes cell phones. Are we collecting that surcharge on all cell phones? It just shows it as 223s, 228s. So all cell phones, the surcharge is there?
I don't know if we're getting them all. We get some checks in, but I don't, you know, there's no way for me to know.
I was just curious about that when, yeah. Where it's black
amount.
And white there.
Yeah, landlines are kind
of, they're almost a thing of the past.
Yeah.
No idea.
We just get the checks in.
There is, in the contract they presented, there is a discrepancy between the price, $245,997.06, and the, in written words, it's $245,977. I would also say, I would ask, in the motion, I would ask for that to be corrected, the verbiage corrected from the written amount to the numerical amount of $245,000. I'm sorry, the written amount, the numerical amount corrected to the written amount, $245,977 instead of $97. It's a...
Throw him a bone. $20.
No, it's not. It wasn't.
$245,976. And they have $977, so we're within a dollar.
So, yeah, I don't know why they have this.
We're losing our IT.
So I would.
Out of this new contract, too.
Like I say, we do have a lot of agreements.
You might want to touch on that.
Well, again, I think we're getting. This is basically inviting negotiation. I mean, I understand it's an offer, but, yeah, I got a lot of red and blue and yellow on my copy here. And I don't think it's nothing major, but it's like, wait a minute. I got to talk to him because, you know, we're losing our IT service with Carla, you know, helping the sheriff, you know, set up stuff. And I don't know how much that's.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't know. There's a lot I don't know. So you know, when you ask me to look at it, I just.
Okay.
You know, and that may be okay. But if we're getting the
as we're
bare
looking,
bone one.
If we want to go this in.
For a bare bone one.
I don't think there's much change in anything. I would ask for a motion to go into closed session at 11:16, necessary for the protection of the public interest or protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual. And this would be specifically this agreement's negotiations on this contract.
Contract negotiations.
So moved.
Moved by Adams to go into closed session at 11:16. Second by Dorn.
You say and personnel because I think you don't you have that also?
Contract negotiation and personnel
at
11:16. But the sheriff would do that later.
Yeah, I thought somebody told me that.
Turn this back down because that's cycling through that speaker.
I text you.
No, but I have it down like that here right now.
You got off easy today.
Five in favor. We're in close session.
We couldn't find a place. We played with it.
Is it packaged, doesn't Bennett?
Oh, my God.
That was better than ours, probably.
No, it's not as good. We will reconvene at 11:59 on the clock.
I asked her for
nobody's here.
Or two of those 30 people.
They gave up.
We're already.
They gave up.
We're already back
paper
on.
Paper radio left.
Vote to come out.
Ask for a motion to vote to come out of closed session at 11:59. Thank you. Please vote. Wait a second. We didn't have a motion or a second. I need a motion and a second to come out of closed session.
Gentlemen. Hello.
Second by Tiemann. Come out of closed session at 11:59. Please vote. Five in favor. We're in regular session. I would ask for a motion to approve the 911 agreement as presented by the city with the insert of the old language for the two-year contract, 25-26, 26-27, with a 2% escalator. Correction to item 8, county fee, to be as alphanumerically listed at $245,977.06. There is a typo in the numeric listing in the contract they gave us that said 997.06. Change it to the 977.06.
Okay, so it's we're going to insert with the old language a two-year agreement with a 2%.
Which will be former paragraph.
Yeah. Okay.
Wait, where's the old one?
Paragraph one.
Term. The term of this agreement shall be July 1, 2025, end on June 30th, 2027. This agreement shall automatically renew for an additional two-year term with annual fee to increase in the amount of 2% each year unless and until either party to this agreement gives the other party 90 calendar days written notice prior to the end of the term of their intent not to renew this agreement for an additional term. This will bring us into a more similar agreement.
The cell phones? The cell phones?
I just think we need to check in.
Yeah, it does.
Part of our.
We will also look into item 7, imposition of service surcharge. This will be our response to the count, to the city's service offer. It's very similar. It has been discussed with the city prior to this. It is their intent to make a more a la carte program in the future. This will just give us a little... give the city a little bit of time to work on that. Talking to Mayor Morgan, he didn't think that was necessary. Talking to the administrator, he had no problem adding that language. Either way, it puts us into a similar situation as we were before. The current contract, though, would be $245,977.06 for the 25-26 year with a 2% escalator thereafter. Ms. Haxby.
I just have some issues. I don't like going into a contract when we say we're still looking into something. I don't like voting on something that's not written out in it, like in an agreed upon form. And then I also am a little bit frustrated with the intent of this was always to be a regional center, and they do provide a great service, and I think that this dispatch is a place we want to stay. But that Richardson was here, and there was a reason that they left. And if we continue in the path that we're going, we're never going to have additional counties and having a lower cost in that. It's just disappointing to see how some of that is ran so that we can't become that regional center. I'm not ready to vote on this. I think the idea, I think the cost, I think the term, I think all of that those are good things. But without having it written, having something that we still want to look at right now, I'm not ready to vote on a contract.
Additional discussion on this item. If not, I would ask for a motion to approve or disapprove the 911 agreement with the stipulations that I listed. I didn't. No, that was to come out of closed session.
Okay.
I don't have motion or a second on this.
I've got it mixed in here. Okay.
No one would come out of closed session, so I seconded it.
Okay.
Sorry, I had to pee.
Well, there may not be a motion.
Move to approve.
Motion by Lytle.
Second.
Second by Dorn. Just to review, this would be to approve the 911 agreement with the City of Beatrice with the addition to paragraph one term. This would be a 2-year term, 25 July 1 through June 30th of 27, starting at 246. 97706, escalating 2% for next year, 2% thereafter, until it is deemed by either party not to, with 90 days prior notice.
Before we
that was your motion.
Before we hit the vote button on this, be very, very clear, because we don't want to have any misconception be a trigger for unhappiness on the other side of this. My vote will be a no vote, and it's not because I don't agree with necessarily the 2-year, the dollars and all that stuff. I want to see it written out. I don't want to have questions in a contract before I make a vote.
And I'll also ask between Mr. Lytle and Mr. Dorn, that is the intent of the motion and the second, as I read, correct?
Right. So what we're taking is what we have on paper, just adding those two.
Ms. Haxby is in talking about item 7, surcharges.
Well, but that can be looked at any time, though. Item 7 has no bearing on her contract.
Right.
Item 7 is part of the contract, if you're going to look
into
it.
But it is the collection of everybody. So, I mean, it has no bearing on what our money does. It just means they may not be collecting for some at the moment. So that could fall under anywhere in there where somewhere it said this agreement can be looked at on any time if you want to open an agreement or challenge an agreement. I can't remember where it is.
The paragraph is paragraph 7. As far as the that could even be a user. That could even be a user group discussion.
I want beer.
This is given 911 service areas are respective parties as authorized by Nebraska statute section 86-435. It'll give service surcharge upon the telephone exchanges. The county shall impose a service surcharge upon all other telephone exchanges in Gage County, except those in 911 service areas. We don't directly do that as a county. That is service providers providing that, if I understand
Verizon
that right.
And so forth.
We don't do that, and we have no control or ability to do
but
that.
But we can look into it, though.
We can ask about it and make sure.
Item 12 is alterations. The agreement may be amended at any time with the written authority of local governing bodies, city and county. So, I mean, you can look into it is what I'm getting at, and then if you question that, you do a written agreement that we want to look at item 7.
I want to reemphasize also, we did talk with the mayor's office, the administrator. At this time, we had asked, can we renegotiate this at a better rate? We ended up at the exact same rate. With the conversation from them that they are trying to find a way to lessen our costs, be it through a lesser amount of service or getting rid of pieces that we don't require that they offer. They can't do that immediately. It takes time, and they said they are looking into that. That may not be something we want to proceed with in the future, but they're trying to find options for us, so I mean, I'm thankful for that.
The advisory committee that you said would look into that, is that the part that was taken out of the contract?
User group. The user group, which consists of...
User group would be for my level.
Right.
Advisory was for you guys and council people to meet
once in a while make suggestions and stuff.
And the advisory group never has existed.
That's the word you just used when we were talking about looking at that. So
I misspoke. I meant user group.
When you talk about the 911 fund, if I remember correctly, Mark Mines was here at that time, and we used to get the funds here.
And then we forwarded them on.
We had to pay them forward to the city. Well, then it was set up so that they run the E911, and all the money goes there. Now, what we get is just a little dab of whatever from Diode or something, and it's not large amounts.
And it's not for us to keep anyway. That money, as it comes in, it's supposed to go to the 911 center.
It's a pass-through.
Well, we don't really get anything we pass through, so to my knowledge. I mean, it's just a...
I would be willing to bet that if there's an ability to maintain or to allocate funds from something, the city of Beatrice is receiving all of the 911 surcharges that they can.
It just surprised me it wasn't spelled out, so cell phones.
That's all part of the budgeting things that took place a few years ago. We had to set up the funds, so the city controlled that.
We have a motion by Lytle, second by Dorn. Additional discussion on this item.
Is there going to be any work towards trying to get more people in, changing maybe the structure of who handles things so that there could be more people coming in?
What I was told last was that is part of the a la carte. I don't know what the right word is. That's part of the a la carte conversation to try to find if somebody wants to come in at a very low rate, it'll help because of pricing versus like Crete, who has the same number of calls as us, who is paying a much higher rate and getting a bigger increase. Again, there was talk that maybe they wouldn't have left had they not had such an increase. So they're trying to find a way to pull members in, yes. And they said there was some talk about that again. As far as Chief Murphy going out and trying to find people like Chief Lang did, I don't think that is probably going to happen. It'll probably be from a different office.
Well, I know he reached out to Fairburg. The sheriff called me here a couple months ago and knew what he wanted. I said, try to see if you're interested in coming on board. I don't know who else would be.
He's talked to a few. He's talked to a few, but how?
Fairbury seems fairly happy, though, from what I hear.
Well,
until the
rules. Until the sheriff started dealing with the union.
Fairbury, go with?
Any additional discussion?
They just have their jailers dispatch.
Back up, Rex.
He's up here.
Okay.
If there's nothing else, comment from the sheriff?
Well, I got something else. No. On this stuff, no.
I would ask you to vote on the motion for the 911 agreement.
Johnson?
Is that how you're choosing to vote, Ms. Haxby?
Any jail cells either.
Yeah. I think so.
5-0 motion carries.
I think so.
I'd ask for a motion to go into closed session at 12:12. Necessary for the protection of the public interest or needless injury to the reputation.
Another closed session?
No,
this closed session would be for, if there's a motion and a second to put us in closed session, this would be for personnel.
Sure, why not?
Motion by Haxby.
Second
by Dorn at 12:12. Please vote. 5 in favor. We are in closed session.
Yeah, you did.
I would ask for a motion to come out of closed session at 12:41.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn. Please vote.
I hate doing that because it's like.
4 in favor with Mr. Adams leaving. Anything else for the good of the order at 12:42?
That's it.
Thank you, gentlemen and ladies. We'll adjourn at 12:42.
Demon?